Hey, this is Mike. This is episode 129. After the intro, we're going to get right into the episode because we went long. On the show today, I have a guy named Rich Chris, and he has a ton on the go, and we had to get to it all, and we did, sort of. Anyway, stick around after the jingle. Rich Chris, hey, it's Ego and Vice.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, we're back. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 129. As promised in the intro, I have the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rich Chris in Southwood Studio, a man of many talents, a renaissance man, a multi-musician, sometimes even a one-man band, but he sits here. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing great.
Yeah? I'm glad that you had time to do this amongst your busy, busy schedule.
Yeah.
We were talking just a bit off mic, and you're in six bands right now.
Yep.
Is that a record, or have you been in more?
I think that's the record, but I'm scared it's going to grow.
Right. Okay. I think the first thing to talk about before we actually talk about each individual project is you're only one person.
Making
their way through the crazy world. How do you find time? How does one find time for six projects, and how do you devote as much attention to each of them, and where do you find the inspiration or the energy to do it?
Well, that's a very good question. Quite loaded too, but it's a combination of things. A lot of I'm going to start and end with it's luck and a lot of perseverance and passion and like drive. And not diligence, but what's it called when you're like strict to yourself? You like follow what you're gonna do.
Disciplined.
There you go. It's discipline. See, I got it. So you just do that, and like just over the years, just scheduling stuff, making regular times. Like Monday is Positive Charges Day, mm-hmm. and Tuesday is Casual Tragedies Day. And Wednesday, Racha has the jam room booked for him, and we use it for Diatones on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday and Friday are usually my free nights. And then Saturday, I'm either going to a show, recording something if I have to record, rehearsing if I have to. And then Sunday, same thing, but Diatones usually rehearses on Sundays too. So
wow. Yeah, that's crazy. So Thursdays and Fridays, you got room for at least two more bands.
Exactly.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So, and then that's the luck part I'm going to finish with, because finding all these, because there's 24 different people I make music with, mm-hmm. and to have their schedules also line up while mine also lining up, there's got to be some magic and luck there.
You'd have to think so. Sometimes if you're in a band of four people or five people, it's like herding cats just to get those people in the same place. So somehow you've interwoven this schedule with like all these other people and yourself to make it all work is pretty remarkable, actually. And you're right. Magic. It is kind of magic.
Yeah, because you can't just plan it like that all the time. Like it just magically works. Like sometimes we're like, oh, the people are free this time, or they're not free this time. And, oh, well, we'll hop in. You're not working. You're not coming in this day. Well, we'll pop in.
Right.
So that kind of shit.
So your brain is essentially like a musical filing cabinet for compositions, parts, riffs, everything you need to know. And I understand being a musician, people ask me that. It's like, how do you remember how to play your own songs? It's just like, I don't know. They're just in there. With different, because they're not all the same style. It's not like you're playing in six punk bands. It's like you're like
the dynamic of them all, or they're all like an eclectic range of bands. How does that work in your brain? How do you switch from one thing to another thing, or is it all just you?
I'm going to have to answer the question the same way I answered that first question. A bunch of magic and some luck and, I don't know, just having a good memory sometimes. Like, my memory is usually terrible. I usually forget things. I forget people's names a lot. I forget what I did 2 days ago. I forget what I did this morning. But, like, somehow I know that, like, oh, this song is, oh, it's B minor, A, G, D. And then, like, I just know, okay, we're gonna sharp the third and make it from minor to major, this part. Like, I can just remember that. I don't know how or why, but I can. And someone asked me that recently. I'm like, I don't know how. I just do it. I don't know.
Do you, I guess, I don't know if there's time. Do you have a day job? I don't.
Yeah.
I want to ask what it is, but I'm just wondering if you have that too. So you also work.
Yeah, I work for FedEx.
I knew that. Yeah.
I am a delivery driver. Very glorious job.
Right. And one thing we should say too is that one of your bands is called Positive Charge, who has been on the podcast before.
Yeah, we sure
so
were.
If we skip over a little bit of Positive Charge's history, go back in the Ego and Vice catalog, the annals of the Ego and Vice podcast, and listen to the Positive Charge episode. It's full, jam-packed, full of Positive Charge information.
Positive information, too.
Positive.
charge with positive information.
That's right. That's right. It's all positive here. There is no negative charge on the Ego and Vice airwaves.
Fuck electrons. Positive charge only.
That's right. All right, I guess let's get into it. Can you? I'm gonna name the bands off here.
Okay. Cool.
The six bands that you are representing as of right now as an active member, which are fully functioning, out there performing, working bands, as we touched on: Positive Charge, The Dive Tones, Casual Tragedies, Precious Failures, Chris Zimmerman and the Weather, and Caspian.
Bingo. Six out of six.
I got them all. I totally did that off the top of my head. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me where I wrote that all down earlier.
No, there's no cat looking at that page either.
Yeah, just like Rich can remember all the songs, I can remember all his bands. So let's start off with, let's save Positive Charge to the end.
All right.
Let's talk about the Dive Tones. Oh, actually, right. What do you want to talk about first?
Which band? Whatever's good to you, man. Like, we could go in the order you wrote them down, or we can go in whatever order you want. We're cool.
Well, the order I wrote them down was the order you gave them, so maybe there's some kind of weird subconscious list in your brain. So let's just start with that and say, let's talk about the Dive Tones. Now, you sent me some demo just to kind of listen to it.
Yeah.
And from what I got from it, it's a ska project.
100%.
Lots of energy. I find ska very happy.
It tends to be, yeah.
Yeah, it makes you want to kind of
skank or dance.
I was gonna say, it makes you want to be the skank man. Let's talk about that. How did that come about?
Oh, this is a good story. So, do you remember the band The Centuries?
Sort of.
So they were a 9-piece ska band. We're 8. Yeah, I know. They were a 9-piece ska band, and they had some members changing throughout their years of existing, and our members, so the members in Dive Tones that were in Centuries are Ratcha, who is a drummer, Matt Ratcha, Jesse Dilla on guitar, and Jose from, he's on saxophone. And then, yeah, so those are the three that came from the Centuries. Right before they broke up, they asked me to be their bass player. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then they ended up finding somebody else. So I was never actually part of the Centuries, but after the Centuries broke up, those three people I just mentioned, plus the keyboard player of the Centuries, Sam, they wanted to start something new. So like, hey, Rich, come play bass with us. So we went to Sam's house, which is north of Gatineau. I forget what the actual place is called. But we'd go to his garage and just jam and play songs. And he had a sweet garage. He was like a full studio in there, beautiful guitars, like top of the line stuff. It was so cool. So we just go there like almost every week and like jam stuff and play covers and work on some tunes. I think one or two of the songs that we jammed in that ended up becoming Dive Tone songs. So fast forward a little bit, the keyboard player, he was singing for us, and Sam's like, I'm quitting music. I'm done. It's kind of abrupt.
I've had that thought many a time in my career, if we want to call it my career. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I relate.
Right? So this guy sold most of his gear, I think, or Might have. I don't remember the exact story, but he was like, I'm done with the band. You guys do your thing. So
we sold us. Yeah, that's serious.
We took over the jam space at with Ratcha because he had Wednesdays. So like we split the jam space with like seven bands or five bands. I can't remember right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he was in the Obsidians, and when the Obsidians had Wednesdays, and when they broke up, Ratchet is kind of like, I'm keeping this day for myself. So we just hop in once in a while and do it. And then eventually he's like, there was just Jesse on guitar, me on bass, Jose on sax, and Ratchet on drums. So it's four piece. We're half the current band. Mm-hmm. And then Ratchet found Jenny at the Dom, and they start talking and like, do you want to sing in the band? And she's like, yeah, sure. So she joined and we had a great time. And then
Jenny's the singer.
Yes. She's the lead singer. She's okay. Amazing. She's toured so many times, like so many countries. She's so experienced. She's so like knowledgeable and like really great person, very friendly and like really smart too. So it's like it's great being around her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Jesse used the. You ever hear that like Tinder for band? Like I think it's band mix or band something.
I've heard stuff. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I know what you mean.
So Jesse went on there and found our current saxophone, alto sax and trombone players,
mm-hmm.
Maddie Evans and James Arif, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Respectfully, and they found each other on the band mix thing, and then Ratcha found our keyboard player. I forget where, but those three people I just mentioned, Evan, Maddie, and James, they all came to the practice for the first time the same day. Wow. So we had three members join our band the same day, and that way we became an eight-piece. And like,
oh, that eight-piece just sounds exhausting. Anyway, no, it's cool, man. Have you ever played with like a brass set, like horns before?
Yeah, I have. The very first band I joined in Ottawa was called the Dirty 30s. And
was it ska?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have some ska background. Some
oh
history.
Yeah, I've been into ska since I was like 12 or 13.
Okay.
Been loving it like so much. So I'm very happy to be in this band. And so it's not my first time playing with horns. But actually, fun thing, the horn player from the band the Dirty 30s mm-hmm. was one of the horn players at the show on Positive Charge's album release show.
Oh, cool.
Because we did one of the songs, but I'll get into that later. What was I saying? See, I forget a lot of things, right? I said that. I can remember music, but not what I just was talking
about. You were
talking
about how three people joined the band at the same time, and then I rudely interrupted you with a thought-provoking question.
Oh, yes. yes. Yeah. Then, like you said, like eight people, that's exhausting. Like,
oh, yeah, right. Just imagine. I'm just thinking of the logistics of the gather. Like, that's even more impressive that you're in six bands and you work it all into the week, or maybe we already covered that, and you're in a band with eight people and it still works. That's extra magic right there.
Yeah. That's banana. Like you were talking about like herding cats with like a four piece or a five piece. I'm like, try an eight piece.
Yeah, right. Bro. Right. Fuck it. I can't even think about it. It's like,
just imagine trying to fit that many people on the stage at the Dom. We did that.
The Dom, that's even smaller. I was going to say, like, DeCuff. Well, the old DeCuff, the old corner DeCuff. Stage.
Yeah, yeah, we would have been lined up on that thing. But, we found a way to make it work.
All right, so what's what's going on? Because you did record a demo.
Yeah, I'm the one who made those demos.
Okay, and obviously you haven't played any shows yet?
We have played two shows. We played last night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We played two Ottawa shows and one out-of-town show already.
Okay. Well, one thing I'm going to definitely say is over the course of your career, it's going to be hard for me to keep up. So if I'm lagging behind, if you've played a show since you've been here tonight and I missed it, I apologize.
I think I've played a number of when did we do our thing? September?
No, I mean since you got here today.
Oh.
if you've played a show in the last 20 minutes and I missed it,
it's possible.
Yeah.
I might have.
Yeah. So that's cool. And are you planning on actually recording, like doing a solid, like an actual album or a EP or what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, we actually have plans to record a full-length album. And I can't go into too many details of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make something about like 48 minutes long. We're aiming for, and we have 16 songs right now, six demos, and we have to make 10 more, and that's our pre-production. Then we're gonna triage, and then either record what we triage, or just record everything and then triage post recording.
Sure.
We're not sure exactly what we're gonna do yet, but we are gonna have a full length with a number of songs, and I'm really excited about it.
Cool, man. Okay, here's a demo from the Divetones. It's called Amy 7? Eagle and Vice.
Wait, Richard, wait!
Let's move on, though, because there's lots to talk about. The next one I have on my list is Casual Tragedies.
Yep.
Let's talk about that.
All right, let's dive in. So do you happen to remember a band called Dark Desire?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Kenzie, who plays in Teenage Fiction.
Teenage Fiction, yeah.
She and I were in Dark Desire, and she started that with her friend Tiff.
Mm.
And they were just a duo, like doing open mic stuff and writing songs together. And by the way, those two were a songwriting machine.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen lots of duos and people write songs together, but those two just were incredible at it. And we had, and then they found a drummer, and they're like looking for a bass player or something like that. They tested someone out. And then like I just started dating Kenzie around that time. And I was like, hey, like I'm only in one band right now. Like I could... This is way before I had all this craziness going on, by the way. So I'm like, I could be the bass player. And then they're like, well, let's see. And then I joined. They're like, yeah, okay, you need to be the bass player. So fast forward after a number of shows, our original drummer quit. And then we got a new drummer named Pat. And then the band broke up. And we didn't really tell anybody. We just broke up and then stopped playing. We did one show and then, yeah, that's it. And then after breaking up, we asked Pat, Kenzie, and I asked Pat, like, do you want to continue doing stuff, or do we want to relinquish our day at the jam space? Like, we have to go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's keep jamming. So we did. And this is 2022. Why did I say it like that? In January, basically 2 years ago, we started working on this project, which is called Casual Tragedies now. But it was the three of us, with no name, no singer, just jamming almost weekly for a long time. And then we got a guitar player. His name's Sean. Do you remember the Cowards?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So Sean and Pat were both in the Cowards.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They were around from like the early 2010s. So we got Sean, and that was in September of 2022. Yeah. Okay. So 8 months goes by, and we finally get a guitarist, and we bring him up to speed all the songs we have, and he writes some songs with us, and our repertoire goes up to like 10 or 11 songs. And then in the meantime, Kenzie goes on the same app that I was talking about to where we found the horn players and the dive tones. Mm-hmm. Same thing. We're looking for singers. She finds a couple people. They're like, a couple girls are like, mediocre to okay. And then we stumble upon Alex, our current singer.
Yeah.
And she's in this band called Rabbit Leader. And holy, can I swear here?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, dude. She's a powerhouse.
Yeah, she was. I just was at the show at the Saw Gallery. Is this still called the Saw Gallery?
I think it's Club
Saw.
Their Instagram is Saw Center.
Saw Center. All right.
So something with Saw. So as long as you get Saw, and it's not the movie.
Yeah, I go back through. I go through generations of that place. So I'll just.
Oh yeah.
I still call it like the. I don't even know what the arena's called. I still call it the Corral Center. Anyway, but I went and saw you guys play, and you pulled double duty that night. You played with Casual Tragedies and Positive Charge. Mm-hmm. So I got to see the first show.
Which might be the only show.
And what was said on stage is that it could possibly be the last show.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry, what was the singer's name again? Alex?
Alex, yeah.
She has to, she's leaving the country? She's moving? Is that what's
happening? Yeah, she's moving, yeah, because she came from Ukraine 2 years ago.
Hmm.
Guess why?
Oh, okay.
So she had to, like, literally vacate her house with all her stuff in it. And, like, just
it sucks.
Came over here to Canada. Her husband is an incredible human, and he just was right above the pulse. He's like, we need to go now. Like, we're going out, and they left. So they came here in Canada, and they've been here for 2 years. And I don't know the exact details. I don't remember the details, but like something about like work visas and stuff like that. So like, it's hard for them to get work here, I think, or keep work.
Okay.
But her husband's brother lives in Austin, Texas. And I think they got green cards or something. But the long story short is their ability to work is a lot easier if they go to the States. And I think there was another option, she was like Northern Saskatchewan.
Oh, wow.
So with not knowing anybody there or going to a family. So they picked going to family.
Texas.
Yeah. And she dropped this, I guess, like bomb on us. Well, I mean, not bomb, but she dropped this big news on us. On Tuesday, like today is Monday, so it was 6 days ago, and the show we had was on Saturday. So,
oh, wow.
She told us on Tuesday, and we were like devastated. Like, so I'll give a little back to the caveat I was going out with before. So we listened to Rabbit Leader, and we're like, oh my God, this girl's incredible. We want to get her. We really want to like have her join the band. And then, I guess a year and a half passes or something like that. And Kenzie texts her on Instagram. She finds her and texts her, and then they start going back and forth. And eventually she comes and practices with us. And we were just like blown away. Like, is this real for real? Like, we got our dream singer. Like, this is amazing.
Mm.
And she tells us she has to leave. And like all this stuff we've been working on for the past 2 years is just like, well, what? It's up in the air now. So Wednesday comes, and Sheehan from Tenenbaums calls me, and he's like, hey dude, like we got bad news too. Like Alex's wife's stepdad passed away.
Oh yeah, they couldn't play the show, eh?
They had to drop out of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm thinking like totally like not seeing the forest before the trees. I'm like on the phone, I'm like, oh no, man, like this is bummer, like buzzkill for obviously the real reason, but like now I have to either find a new band last minute or like figure something out. Like, oh, I have to think of this right now. And then Kenzie's like sitting right beside me, and she's like, dude, this is the opportunity. Let's hop on. I'm like, you're right. So that's why we played the show, and we had to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When the iron's hot and you don't strike, we'd have regretted that shit forever.
For sure, man. And it was good, too. And it looked like you were ready to play the show, like the band itself. Like, you guys did great.
And like I said, the band has been working on this stuff for like almost two years. And when Alex came, she rearranged a few songs, but like we worked on them and got them to where they are. And she added some really cool parts.
But it would be a shame to just kind of disband just because she's going away. You could still, with the beauty of the internet, you could still like make music and release music as a recording project, right? Maybe not as much. Can't play shows unless she wants to come into town every once in a while.
Yeah, or that forces our hand. Maybe we got to fucking hit the road, which I have no issues with. In fact, I had the opposite of that issues with that. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad I went to the show and I got to see the, and because if it was the one and only, I have a question in my podcasting where it's like, you ever had a musical I was there moment? There it is.
There it is for you.
I saw the one and only Casual Tragedies show. I was there.
Fingers crossed.
Why don't we play a song from Casual Tragedies?
That sounds like a good idea. Here's a demo unmixed song by Casual Tragedies. You heard it here first.
Ego and Vice. Just to be clear, this is actually a live track that Rich wanted me to play. So I did my best to EQ it, but hey, it's live, so have fun.
Come call the bus! We'll be right back.
So that was Casual Tragedies. Not a tragedy, a triumph, really. And congratulations on it. And good luck to Alex in her new adventures. Moving on. We're moving on to Precious.
Fuck.
You had it right.
Oh, I did.
You did.
Oh. See, even when I get it right, I'm fucked up. Okay, we're moving on to Precious Failures.
There you go. That wasn't a failure.
No. I kept saying precision, whether this makes on air off mic or whatever. I'm going to edit this out.
But that was so good.
Okay, I'll leave. Okay, we'll leave it.
You're like second guessing yourself. That's gold.
Okay.
You can't write that.
Precious Failures.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Okay, so 2018, Tony was the drummer of Positive Charge. I sing and play guitar in Positive Charge, and he was the drummer. He quits. A year later doesn't pass. He calls me up one day. He's like, "Hey, Rich, I've been writing some songs on guitar. And do you want to play drums for it? It's basically a little role reversal." And I was like, "Yes, please." I was sad he left, and I'm happy we get to make music again together, because we've been making music. He was in the Dirty 30s. He was in New Elders. He was in Positive Charge. Like, I've been making music with Tony for like over a decade, and he's the best. I love him so much. Mm-hmm. So when he asked me, I'm like, hell yeah. So it was just he and I jamming. He and I were the only ones jamming. It was a two-piece started off. We jammed in my jam room. And we worked on the songs, and I was like, because it was just me and him, it was him singing by himself. I'm like, well, these songs need harmonies, so I just learned to fucking sing while playing drums, which is not an easy task. It was not easy to do.
No, I'd imagine it wouldn't be. Well, depends on what you're doing, I guess, right?
Just backups, but like while doing some fills and stuff, and like, you know, like it's not easy.
Right. Is it just the two of you in the band?
No, not anymore. So okay. We got Sheehan from the Tenenbaums on bass, and we were a three-piece for a little while. We did one show as a three-piece at the, South by South. No, it was Side by Side.
Okay.
The first Side by Side festival. The first one after the pandemic. We did that, so that was that. And then Maddie Grace, she came from Nova Scotia, and she's in a lot of bands too. I think she's in like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Or maybe bad in 6 like me, I'm not sure. But she's a wicked guitar player, and Tony was like, "Yo, like, should we have her join?" I'm like, "Yeah, for sure. Second guitar, hell yeah." So now we're 4-piece. And we've done 2 shows with Maddie, so 3 total. Mm-hmm. And this band is kind of like a little bit of a back burner band right now, because everyone in that band is in different bands. Mm-hmm. And Tony and Maddie are in, I think, 1 or 2 other bands together. So they've got a lot more incestual musicianship going on without me and that. So they're focused on all that stuff. So we don't jam as often as I'd like to, but we do have a 5-song EP coming out soon.
Cool.
Mixed and recorded by everyone's favorite, Sandy from Teenage Fiction.
Sandy Vance. I was just talking to him today.
So was I.
I love 3-piece bands. I've been in a 3-piece band for a long time.
I feel ya.
It works.
If your 3-piece works, it works. Kian's new band, The Hunk Club, is a 3-piece, and like, they rip.
I love it.
They don't need a new like a second guitar player or another person. Like, and their harmonies, dude.
So, Casual Tragedies, you have shit,
wrong band. Precious Failures.
So, Precious Failures. I can't remember. We've talked about so much now. You do have music.
We have a demo out. I think it's the same 5 songs that are on our EP coming up.
Okay,
we just did a demo and put it out. For a demo fest, like there was this thing where like they were releasing, like if you could record a demo in a certain amount of time, they'd like, I forget exactly what it is. Tony knew more about it, and it was a cool project. But basically, it was like telling a lot of people, make a demo or make a recording, and we'll release it all together as part of this massive, massive, like thousands of demos group thing. So we did that. But so that's out. But the recordings are coming.
Okay,
I was talking to Sandy about the mixes today. This is Precious Failures, a little demo for you. Face of a Stranger. Let's go.
Ego and Vice. Cool. So that was Precious Failures. Awesome. So the next thing we're going to talk about is Chris Zimmerman and the weather. This one seems a little odd to me.
Yeah.
Out of all the bands, I met Chris. I know Chris. We're not like we've met. Do you know Steve Muss?
No, I don't think
so. Okay. I used to host an open mic at Moose McGuire's just up the road in South Ottawa. There you are. And I co-hosted it with a guy named Stephen Muss. And in one of the first or second nights, someone came in and Steve knew him, and it was Chris Zimmerman.
Ah.
And he said, oh, I was just going to check with the open mic. And he did a couple of songs and stuff. And then that was where I actually met him. And I've met him here and there. And then I've just kind of followed his career, yep. I guess. I keep throwing the word career. I feel weird saying career.
That's a career for Chris, for
I guess
sure.
So. But he's always been like a house player. Like he'll go and play like pubs and
he still does that a lot.
He still does that.
Oh,
eh?
So much.
But
I think he played 3 gigs this St. Patrick's Day, but last year he did 4.
Okay.
Just on St. Patrick's Day alone.
Right. And there's nothing, and that's awesome, man. If you can make a living playing music, I think that's the greatest thing ever. It just seems to me like in my placement in my brain as far as bands, there's like the live scene and all that stuff, and then there's the guys who actually do it for a living. And how did you hook up with Chris? Like, how did that happen?
How do you know I hooked up with Chris?
Well, there's word, there's talk. Eh? You're a man about town.
Apparently. Well, we do share a name, so.
Yeah. There you go. How did you and Chris start playing music together?
That's a good question. I think it was in 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. I was going to the open mic Rainbow mm-hmm. on Sundays, like religiously, because that's when Kenzie and I were dating at that time. We're dating for a number of years, and we'd go like every Sunday, and there'd be a whole crew that would come every Sunday, and Chris would come there a lot. And at one point he's like, hey Rich, like I'm doing this show like with my original songs, like do you want to like play bass for it? Mm-hmm. And it was with James Reed, me, and him. It was at Day Cuff. We did one set and it went well, and then, like, he didn't realize really who he was booking for the show, so like I was being my rambunctious self on stage, like yeah, woo, jumping around and stuff. And he's like, me and that's playing like a nice slow song. And then he's like, oh man, like you were great, but like you're a little too hype.
Dial her back,
bud. And then the pandemic hit, and then he's the one who got me my job at FedEx.
Oh, shit. There
so go. He got me doing that, and then after talking a while, I was like, hey, like, do you want to rejoin the band? And at this point, I think I was... Dr. Zire was going, Positive Charge was going, and I'd also been asked to jam with Caspian. More on that later.
Okay.
He's like, do you want to rejoin, like, play again? Like, do the originals? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we started doing some more of those. And then... he's also like, well, his bass player, Thaddeus Kyle Moon, just quit music too. And he's like, I'm stopping. And he even like did a farewell party for his own solo project. So that means he left the band. He's like, Rich, I need a bass player for my cover shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, teach me some songs. So we jam a bunch, and we did it in 2022 or 2023. I can't remember which year it was. I did a shit ton of fucking cover gigs with Chris, and also with James too. So
James he's a drummer, right? Yeah, James Reed. Okay.
You think I'm in a lot of bands? You think I'm doing this? James he's doing it for real too. Like he makes money off this.
Yeah. Well, he's a drummer, and he's needed. He's definitely needed. Yeah. Like the last thing anyone needs is another goddamn guitar player, right? But if you're a drummer who's willing to fucking bounce around,
and so we did a bunch of shows with that, and then And then Chris likes to change his lineup a whole bunch. So whatever. Sometimes he'll do a solo show or a duo show or a trio show or a quadruo show or whatever he can get his hands on, he'll do that. And right now I'm only in his original project right now. He says I'm second call for the covers. So he has his own hierarchy of doing things.
So realistically, going back, like for me when I said – when I found out you were playing with Chris Zimmerman, it was just like, oh, that's different. But really, when you look back on it, you've been playing with Chris for longer than a lot of these bands. Wow. Okay. Well, maybe I should pay more attention. I don't know. What do you have stuff coming up with Chris? You must play, like, Chris plays a lot. Yeah. So are you playing every show with him now?
The original ones. I mean, well, he,
oh, original,
the last,
that's right.
The last original Chris Zimmerman show happened the same night a Positive Charge album release show was. So while you were watching Casual Tragedies, he was probably on stage at the Queen Street Fair.
Oh, okay. By himself or with a...
With a band. With, oh. with his band. Like, he had to get another bass player.
Oh, he available. Couldn't do it, yeah.
I'm like, sorry, Chris, I can't leave my album release show to go do your gig. I gotta stick to the Positive Charge thing.
Yeah, so. Of course. And I'm sure he was understanding.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
I'm just like being silly. I'm like, well, I'm sorry I can't do the gig because I already have my own gig, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm usually, like, unless any other original shows on first call. Speaking of that, like, today is Monday. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we're playing at the Rainbow. So
cool.
We're going to be doing another original show then. So, yeah. Rich Chris Zimmerman and the weather. Rich Chrisless Chris Zimmerman song.
Yeah. When Rich is not in a band, he's not Rich Chris. He's Rich Chrisless.
Yes.
Eagle and Vice. What am I doing here? What am I doing here without you? Okay, one band left. Well, two bands left, but Caspian?
Yep.
What's going on there?
So I'm the bass player of that band. We have Adam on drums, and we have Hans on synth keys, and then the man of the project, were Caspian. So yeah, he started off doing solo stuff at the same Rainbow open mic that I met Chris at.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew I played bass because we did Dark Desire stuff there, and he saw me playing bass. He's like, "Oh, Rich, like, do you want to play bass in the first Caspian show?" So I'm like, "All right, cool." I did. And then we did, I think, one or two gigs at the Rainbow, and then the pandemic happened. So we stopped, and then he started it back up with Adam, the drummer, as a two piece
mm-hmm.
for a while. Then he's like, "Hey, Rich, do you want to join back on bass?" I was like, "Yeah, your songs are fun." And then I joined, and Adam and I just clicked like fucking brothers we never were, you know, like joking around, even like musically tight in the pocket, like pretty much right off the get go. And like the songs are fun as hell. So, yeah, but we are on a bit of a hiatus at this point,
mm-hmm.
For personal reasons, and, don't know how long the hiatus will last. Don't know what the outcome of the hiatus will be, but, we're, taking a pause, and, we'll see what the outcome is.
Okay. Cool, man. I guess the last thing, where are we at? Oh, man. We are at 50 minutes. This has been a...
50 minutes of raw recording.
Oops. Okay, so I guess the last thing we're going to talk about is Positive Charge.
Oh, yes.
When I went and saw the show, yeah, the other night at Saw Center...
That's the
Positive Charge
one, I think.
Just released a brand new record.
Sure did. It's brand new to all of you.
It's one of those ones that's been kicking around for a long time.
Only about 6 years.
Oh, okay. So yeah. How did it feel to finally get it out? What happened?
What happened? Well, lots happened. So we started in 2018, back when the original lineup was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had won some studio hours with New Elders. Our old man, and we still had remaining ones from our first album. So mm-hmm. we recorded just the drums at Pebble Studios. And then that was like early 2018. Wow. I can't say years this time. So it's 2018 early. He recorded his drums. And then shortly after, we recorded the guitars and bass at Alex Jacobchuk's house, who did sound for us at our show.
Cool. Sounded
and
good.
So it did. It did. It sounded great. Mm-hmm. And he's a gem. So we recorded his house. He's got this nice isolation booth. We had the amp in there and it's mic'd up. So we did that. And then shortly around this time, Cam's first child, Charlie, was
mm-hmm.
born.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, the album release show was on Charlie's 6th birthday. So he was there. So we, I don't know if you were one of the people singing happy birthday along to him, but we all sang happy birthday to him.
Was that his first Positive Charge show?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of firsts that night.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Yep. So, yeah, so it was cool to release the album on his 6th birthday because we've been, basically it took us his whole life to make the album,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a funny thing to say.
It's hilarious.
It took this kid's whole life for us to make this album,
yep.
but because the child was born and... That threw a wrench in some of our plans, and then Tony quit, and then we got a new drummer, and then that was just a temporary. That was Alex from Tenenbaums, and then
yep.
and then we Gary asked to join the band, but we didn't pick him. We picked Eric,
mm-hmm.
and we were with Eric for a number of years, and Eric has 3 kids,
mm-hmm.
and throughout the time Eric being in the band and the pandemic happening, things kept getting in the way, like practices kept getting canceled because of this and that. And like, we're like, it's like slowing down. Meanwhile, trying to make the record and teach Eric the songs and know the songs and all this.
Yeah.
Pandemic comes. And then like things are slowing down a bunch. And then Cam's like getting really busy with doing sound because he's the monitor tech at Bronson Senator.
Okay.
He goes on the road with bands as their front of house sometimes. He was just on the road with Bearings for like 5 weeks. Bearings is Cam's brother, Colin Haynes. He's the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, they just decided to have him come because he's talented and they're bros. So why not, right?
Yeah.
So he was getting really busy. So he quit. Eric quit shortly after that because he was also very busy. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, no. We need to get new members. And then we found Gary in Summer. And
yeah.
that's where it became awesome. And yeah, back to the album. It took us, we were, Jordan and I were recording sporadically, vocals here and there, and editing it and fixing it up and getting it to where it needed to be, and his life got in the way and things, plans got canceled and stuff. So it just took us way too long, and we're never doing it again like that.
Was there ever a time when you thought Positive Charge was done?
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, people kept canceling practices. Like, we practice every Monday, and it's been that way since we got our jam space in 2018. And, that's not really accurate. But when we got the new lineup, Mondays was our day, and I remember throughout, like, a year's worth of time, I'd be, like, texting the guys, like, anywhere between Friday and Sunday, being like, we jamming on Monday? We jamming this time? We jamming? And they'd either not respond until Monday, or they'd respond and be like, yeah, let's do it. And then Monday comes, something comes up. So you start getting really defeated, like, this record, we're not going to finish the record. The band's not going to, like, continue. Like, what's going on? And I asked Jordan, I'm like, well, like, how do you feel? Like, are you in it or out? And he's like, I'm in it to win it, baby. Like, I'm fucking, this is my band. This is my jam. So once he said that, I'm like, okay, there's still hope, but, like, you never know. Like, if we don't find any new members, it could be dead. And then we got Summer, and there was some new life charged into it. And then we got Gary, and it's like, he came to the practice, first practice, knowing, like, 7 songs already. And I was like, oh, now we're, like, in the best position we've probably ever been.
So. Yeah, yeah. Gary's a veteran. He knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah. We picked our members because of 2 things we know. 1, they're cool, and 2, they're talented. And that's, to me, the most important things of finding band members. Because I've heard you talk to other people, like, you don't want to find that really awesome guitarist who's, like, technically incredible, but, like, kind of not fun to hang around, versus your buddy who you love chilling with and is not too super awesome. That's always the best option, but we were lucky to get both.
You got both, yeah. Very rarely, rarely you will find the virtuoso plus the cool guy, or girl, or person.
Yes.
Which is cool. And the theme of this podcast has been magic.
Yes.
So you seem to be a very magical person, that your energy is magical. So maybe it was inevitable, right? Of course it you're going to find those people.
And, like, I'm super, super grateful for it. Like, I counted it, like last year, or, like, in January or sometime. Like, I count how many people are in Positive Charge. 1, 2, 3. How many people in Casual Charities? 1, 2, 3, 4. And I got all the bands. I'm like, it's 23 or 24 people.
Mm-hmm.
24. And every single one of them is, like, they have incredible qualities. They're really awesome people. I love them all.
Good.
And, like, it's great. And, like, positive things attract positive things. So I'm giving off my best vibe all the time, and it's great. And I was thinking, like, I've listened to a bunch of these podcasts, and I've had a couple of shout outs on these a couple of people come in here, like, talking about me. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, people are great. I love this music scene here.
Well, I think it's impossible to be as spread out as you are, doing what you're doing and contributing the way you're contributing, without having people recognize it or feel what you're doing. So the shout outs are definitely warranted, and they're legit. And people, you know, it's inspiring. You can play music, and you can play lots of kinds of music. You can, with lots of people, and remain humble and just do it for the love of it. And I think that your prime example of that is someone who does it, obviously, because you exude it. You can tell you love playing, you love writing, you love collaborating, and you love just the scene. And that's infectious as well.
I like pretty much every part of what happens with music, where all the way down from, I'm even getting more into, like, the gear tech stuff, but, like, all the way down from, like, how we write this song to, like, how do we promote the show? Like, I like almost all the aspects of it. It's awesome. And you were mentioning being humble. Like, that's such a huge thing for me. Like, I'd never want to have an ego. I never want to think, oh, I'm super awesome, or I'm cool, or, like, the best, or anything. Like, no, fuck that shit. I think arrogance is one of the worst qualities anyone can have.
Yeah.
So your podcast, the ego and vice, I try and stay away from the ego as much as I can, because that's not cool, man.
No, it's not. And I don't know, man. Just go through life and be cool. Don't be a dick.
Treat people with respect.
That's right. That's right.
And give as much love as you can.
That's all you can do. And make music. And,
yeah.
You know, give back where you can and take where you can. And that's just the way it is.
Hell yeah.
Keep everything equal. Life is a balance.
Oh, it's a delicate balancing act.
So, and you're doing a great job somehow.
I don't know what I'm doing, but
you're like
it's working for
you're
now.
Like an
so.
Octopus with the eight arms or whatever it is, just holding everything up. So, I'm going to play a Positive Charge song off the new record. What's the new record called again?
How to Fit In and Why It Matters.
Wasn't that supposed to be a split?
It was supposed to be two EPs, but when we lost both our members that were, both the original members that recorded and also when we lost Eric, we're like, okay, well, we're not going to release it twice. Like, we're going to put everything out we had, release the thing we tried to make as it is, as it was intended to be. And then after that, we can start fresh. Well, not fresh, but like we can start with the new lineup, writing stuff, doing that, and just going forward as opposed to like, we have this new EP, here it comes. And like, oh, we're going to release a second one. Like, we're not going through that again. Yeah. Why? Just put it all out together.
I gotcha.
So
just keep it clean. You know what I mean? That's it. So let's play a song. What do you got?
I don't have one on mine, but I'm sure we'll pick one.
All right. This is off the new Positive Charge record, which
is called Something.
this song is called Something. Eagle.
Eagle and Vites.
And Vites. Every year, the winter tries to kill us. After we get used to the wolf. And we know exactly what's coming. We try to prepare as the days get shorter and so much colder. At about this time, I get terrified. At about this time, I ask myself, why do we live here? Why do we live here? Why do we live here? Okay, before we wrap this up, we're going to play 13 questions with the band, but this is a special edition because Rich is here by himself. So this is 13 questions. Fuck, 13 questions with Rich Chris. You ready?
Try saying that three times fast.
I just did. Time for 13 questions with the band. Yes, this segment's back again. It's called 13 questions, but I only asked six, maybe five. Okay, we're back. Okay, so here we go. 13 fuck, I can't say questions.
13 questions with Rich Chris. Here we go.
Yes. All right. So the very first question I'm going to ask is, out of all the bands you play with, who's your favorite?
No, you have to make me do that. I can't pick between my children. They're all my favorite.
No, I won't. I'm just kidding. I'll ask.
That would have been funny.
I'll ask a serious question. Out of all the bands you play with, which one is the worst band?
Oh, that's that's easy. Okay. Oh, it's
okay. Let's go. Chris. What was the first record, CD, or tape you ever purchased with your own money?
I don't remember. I'm very sure there's very few people who don't remember their first purchase, but like, I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of when I was younger.
Okay.
I can't remember my first purchase, so I don't even know.
Do you remember a CD or tape or something like that you listened to a lot when you were young? Like a physical thing you put in the machine all the time?
I guess the best thing I could do is that one of the biggest influences for my music, and I'm going to sound like such a stereotypical punk saying this, but Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 soundtrack. Yeah. Oh my God. There's a lot of bands that got me on there. And then there's I used to do competitive trampoline when I was younger. And I also did this, there's this gym called Airborne, and on Wednesdays they would have board night. So you could bring skateboards, snowboards onto the trampolines and jump around, and I was like, this is the best. I love trampoline. I love snowboarding and skateboarding. This is, I can combine them. That's so cool. And one of the guys who is coach of that thing, his name is Joel Anderson, and he's like, hey, Rich, you need to check out these actual punk bands, because you're like, oh, you like Blink-182 and Green Day and Sum 41? Like, here's Rancid. Here's NOFX. Here's the Planet Smashers. Here's the Slackers. Here's Mad Caddies. Like, check out these bands. Like, you're going to love this stuff. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And I was 12 years old. I've never gone back. It's been punk rich ever since.
Nice. That kind of brings me into my next question, which is probably self-explanatory. But okay, if you say somebody came down and there was a rule or a law or something like that, you could only play one style of music for the rest of your career, what would it be? Because you play a lot of different styles, but you had to choose one.
Why? Why do I have to deal with this fucking question here? You know what? I think it would be playing punk on bass as the lead singer. I was thinking the other day, I'm like, I don't do bass and lead singing vocals in a punk band. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really, really fun. If I could only do one, bass with a pick, punk band, lead vocals.
That's cool. And I think you'd have to look into like what would you not get? I doubt you'd get sick of any of it, but that seems like a pretty fun gig. Cool.
Yeah, I play bass in four of these bands. Out of the six, four are bass. Okay. So I love bass. It's the most comfortable for me. So that's why.
If you were going to start a band tomorrow and you could have any members at all, what would be your dream lineup and what would you do in the band?
Shit. Well, I'm probably playing bass because that's what I'm best at and love the most. Who would I want in the band out of anyone that any living musician or
sure.
anyone?
Maybe you don't have to name the whole band. Maybe just a member. Who would you love to have in your band?
I'm trying to think. There's a lot of people. The first person that comes to my mind is beautiful Chris Cresswell. He's just incredible.
All right.
I've been a big fan of the Flatliners for most of my life.
I'd go see that show.
Chris and Chris Cresswell.
There you go. See? It's more of that magic, I think, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sometimes I ask the question in 13 Questions with the Band, if you could open for one band, who would it be? I'm flipping that now, and let's pick a band, say Positive Charge. What band would you want to open for Positive Charge? Your dream band, your dream opener for Positive Charge.
So you're the headliner. This is an interesting, weird question. I don't know. I feel like any of the bands that I would pick, we wouldn't be able to hold it up after them. But I don't know. Like, I've been listening to you ask the people this question. I'm like, oh, who would I pick? Who would I pick? And now I'm in this hot seat and I'm fucking blanking here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm thinking like, I'm going to have to go with a heavy hitter like NoFX or Bad Religion, something like one of those tenured bands, but like,
yeah,
so influential. I'm probably going to pick NoFX just because the music has had such a very strong influence on me. And like the bass lines are excellent. Like, and what other punk band has an 18-minute epic song that is just so incredible?
They're almost done, eh?
Yeah.
NoFX. They play that song every show, eh? It's like
the Decline?
The Decline, yeah. They play. I was looking at their tour, and mm-hmm. I was looking at the set list. They play that song at the end. I don't know if it's the encore, but they play it near the end every fucking night.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. Anyway,
I'm going to see them three times. So I hope I get to see it three times.
There you go. Okay, a couple more questions, and then we gotta wrap it up. My God.
Oh yeah, we're going lots of time here.
Okay, let's go with What? Okay, how about? You're very entrenched in the local scene and there. Not saying anything was good or bad or this. What was your favorite local show that you saw in 2023?
Oh,
whether you played it or whether you just were an audience member.
I don't think I played a lot of original shows, so I'm definitely not saying when I played. Even that, it wouldn't be that when I played wouldn't be the answer. I'm trying to think, like, there's some really good shows. I'm blanking off the top of my head right now. Like, I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't. That year kind of flew by for me last year, and like I don't remember which bands played when.
All right, let's kind of
scrap this. May I scrap this question?
No, let's streamline it. Because there's less time. So far, what has been the best show you've seen in 2024?
I'm going to have to go with, I think there's Sun Junkies played at Rainbow. And maybe that was 2023. I don't remember. It might have been the end of 2023 or the beginning of 2024. But I remember because the guys in Root Cause, mm-hmm. that's where they gave me a shout out there, and like I did a stage dive off there during the Sun Junkies.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And because I forget who else played it. I don't know if it was Neon Ghost House or if it was Root Cause or who else played, but the bands were awesome. The audience was bonkers. Like there's, like I said before, there's been a lot of really like fun shows. Like the attendance is great, but that one was just like pinnacle. Like there was so much crowd surfing, so much. Like every 10 seconds, someone was crowd surfing, someone else. And then I'm like, yo, I'm just going for a stage dive. I have to. And I'd never seen the Sun Junkies before either. And they're so energetic on stage. They're tight. Their music's wicked. So yeah, I'm going to go with them for now.
Cool. A couple more.
Oh yeah, I think Fifth played that night.
Oh, did they? That was probably
No. Fifth did a show at the Rainbow, and they headlined. Oh yeah, it was the day after my birthday, and I got to sing with them. That would be number two.
Cool.
That was so fun. I love those Fifth boys. They're so great.
Okay. Have you ever met? I hate to use the word hero. You know how they say don't meet your heroes. Have you ever met one of your, let's call it like a hero or like an inspiration? Like, have you ever met one of your inspirations?
Yeah.
And how'd it go?
It went well, actually. I met Fat Mike.
Oh, wow.
In 2022. Matt Ratcha got, he knows the NoFX crew, and he got a backstage pass for himself, but he got a ticket for me, and I was just, found my way backstage, like there's a guy named Mike. I almost said Mike Batani.
That's me.
Mike McGee from Snob Records. I met him before, and I saw him, and like he basically vouched for me to be like, this guy's cool, to go backstage. So I did, cool. And we were chatting. Like I was chatting with Fat Mike, and like there he was drinking vodka. He loves Tito's vodka, and I was asking him, I'm like, yeah, do you have any? Do you guys have any beer down here? And he pokes my fucking belly. He's like, I can tell you like drinking beer, eh? I was like, did I just get razzed by Fat Mike? And then fucking we had a thumb war and he won. And then you know that little fucking, when they put your hand, like you make that little circle thing and you put it below your waist and someone sees it, you got to punch them.
Yeah, I think, don't you have to put it like around in front of your balls and you're like, eh!
I mean, the regional rules are all different, but okay. I think the one I've seen the most is...
regional rules. Yeah, we used to call that ball gazer.
It was called
ball gazer, yeah.
I don't know what we used to call it, but like it had to be below the waist because anywhere it doesn't count, but like it has to be below the waist. So he did it above the waist. Mm. He's like, did this. And I'm like, oh, he saw it. He punched me. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you shouldn't have done that, but that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was a good experience, and like he was exactly the way he looks.
Good shot. A little bit of weight behind her.
A little bit of weight, yeah. It wasn't like a super light one, but it wasn't like, bam, you know, yeah. Like... But yeah, like you say, meet your heroes. So like usually, apparently that's bad, but like a lot of the times it's been good for me.
Good.
But for him specifically, he is pretty much exactly the same way he is in video or whenever you see him like in person.
Have you ever watched or listened to Fat Mike's Fat Mike?
Yeah, a few of them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw the one with Greg Hetson.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one too.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, but we Goat actually has a song called Ball Gazer, because when we were younger, we used to do this. Like, we'd be talking.
Not looking.
And then you'd go, Ball Gazer, boom, and you'd punch him in the, I don't know, in the dick or something like that. But
so
anyway.
So that's probably where the game came from. And then we're like, well, we're going to make it more PC or more child friendly and or whatever friendly and not make it below the waist. Oh, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah.
You learned something new on Ego and Vice podcast with Mike Batani.
Ball gazer. I'm going to play ball gazer on this thing. Okay, my last question, got to wrap it up, is who is Rich Chris?
Oh, I've asked this question many times. I don't know. I'm just a fun hooligan who likes music and wants to make as much music as I can. And I want to play wherever I can go. I want to go. I've actually never played outside the country, and I've been doing this shit for like 20 years. Mm. So Rich Chris is someone who wants to tour the world.
100%.
And make friends playing music, and with my friends playing music, and spread love and positivity and joy.
Excellent.
There we go.
Well, I'm very impressed with just your catalog and your level of involvement in the music, the Ottawa scene.
Yep.
And your passion for it is awesome, and it's you're an inspiration, my friend.
Thank you.
And I hope you keep going, and I don't think you'll stop. But
I tried stopping once, and I'm like, yeah. No.
Well, as they say, you know, when it's in you, it's in you. And so I look forward to the future. And
same.
And we'll, I don't know, connect again down the road, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
Props, buddy.
Thank you so much. All right, that's the end. Oh my goodness, I went way over time, but that's okay. I want to thank Rich Chris for coming in and telling his story. He has a big story to tell, and he has lots on the go, so I guess this episode deserves to be a little bit longer to try and get it all in. We almost got it all in. And I don't do two-parters anymore because nobody cares. Nobody cares enough for part two. Anyway, thanks, Rich. Keep it up. You're an inspiration, my friend. Anyway, if you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to egoandvicepodcast.com. That is the HQ, the hub for Ego Advice. You'll find every link you need to find Ego Advice wherever you need to find it. If you want to contact me, you can contact me through the website, or you can just do it the old-fashioned way via email at egoandvice@gmail.com. Say hello, leave a comment, leave a complaint. Don't leave death threats, though. I take those very seriously. I have a crack team that'll find you. Anyway, till next week, my name is Mike. This has been Ego and Vice.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
This is Precious Failures, a little demo for you called Strange Face of a Stranger.
Okay,
third time's a charm. All right.
Almost had her.
All right.
See, folks, podcasting ain't that easy. It's not as easy as it looks, my friend.
No, and also, every time you say Eagle and Vice, I keep thinking, I keep hearing Eagle and Vice.
Eagle. Oh, maybe it is.
It sounds like, I know you're saying Eagle, but I hear Eagle.
It's probably, yeah.
The design in the pants.
That's it. I have a lisp. I have a speech.
So do I.
I have a speech impediment.
So do I.
All right.